Welcome to Community Focus right here on 103.7 The Beat. And if you notice, I am neither Melvin Burns or Gregory T. Roberts. I am Jen Ross, though. And of course, you guys, if you listen every Friday, you know that Greg is out still recovering from surgery. So we offer our prayers to him. And I believe Melvin is traveling this week. So safe travels to Melvin. But thank you for having me today. First of all, we're going to start with some birthday shout outs. We got our very own Lady J. Happy birthday, Lady J. Brian Sanders, Felice Kelly, Dre Kelly, and Mr. Austin Howe down there in Florida. Happy birthday to you all. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. I think Melvin normally starts out with the weather. And if you ventured outside today, you know that it's beautiful outside today. almost 50 degrees, high of 47 today, low of 25. But don't get too excited because there's a 52% chance of snow tomorrow, 1 to 3 inches. And I just, it gets better next week. So spring is coming eventually. But the days are getting longer, so that's a plus. As you guys know, Mount Zion is having their annual fish fry right now. So you can go down there at 188 West Muskegon and get a catfish or a perch dinner. Comes with your choice of two sides. The dinners are $15. The snacks are $10. And you can go right down to the church basement and order it. They're done right to order. So it's fresh, it's hot, and it is delicious. We are coming to a close for Black History Month, but Muskegon Public Schools still has something for you. They are doing their annual Black History program that is sponsored by the 21st Century Program. So shout out to Angie Johnson and all of her coordinators at Muskegon Public Schools for everything that they do with the after school program with the 21st Century Program. And this year they are celebrating the legacy of Big Red Achievement. They are celebrating their own alumni. And this year they're doing, let's see, five of them. Amongst them is Chandra Sain, class of 1990, who also works as a counselor at the high school. Mr. Willie German, class of 1980, and he is also one of our city commissioners for the city of Muskegon. We are celebrating Mr. Eddie Brown, class of 1987, and he is the dean at Charles Hackley Middle School. Miss Lenora Kitty Turner Terry, class of 1976, and she is a health teacher at the middle school. And Mr. Arthur Duren, I'm sorry, Pastor Arthur Duren. If you came up in the 90s in Muskegon Public Schools, he was coaching in and teaching. But right now he is the pastor of a church. So congratulations to them. That is taking place next Thursday at 5:30 p.m. at the high school. So you don't want to miss that. There's still some Black history programming going on, and Muskegon Public School is going to close it out next Thursday at 5:30. On the show with me today, I have someone who is no stranger to doing interviews with me. If you caught my show last Friday, if you don't know, I do host the afternoon jams from 3 to 7 every Friday. I had him on last week because the West Michigan Symphony has something special for us today.
Yes, we do. My name is Andy Bielow, and I manage the West Michigan Symphony. And by the way, I'm also Pastor Duren's next door neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
So I know him well. We help each other shovel snow and mow lawns.
Oh, good.
All that good stuff. Anyway, West Michigan Symphony is doing a American Jubilee concert tonight at 7:30 at the Frauenthal. And this will be with conductor Kellen Gray and pianist Michelle Kahn. And Kellen Gray he's not our usual conductor.
He's a guest conductor.
Mm-hmm. And he specializes in performing what he calls African diaspora music. So classical music written by African American composers.
Yes.
You asked me when I was on last week, you were surprised that there was William Dawson, whose Negro Folk Symphony we're doing mm-hmm. tonight, wrote that in the 1940s, and you were yes. surprised by that. But actually, a couple of years ago, we did the Afro-American Symphony by William Grant Still, and that was written in the 19 19- 20s.
Oh, wow.
So there's a whole tradition that a lot of people don't know about, and we're trying to change that.
Yes. Yes. And we also talked last week about just the different programming that the symphony does, because not only do they offer just various types of symphonies, you can go and hear anything from Beethoven. They may have a live singer. There was a live singer there earlier this year that I got to catch that show. Mm-hmm. But you just never know. You never know what you're going to get out of the symphony.
Every concert is different.
Every concert
is
different.
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. And the opening this year was what was the opening this year?
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember?
Let's see.
Well, was it ABBA? It wasn't ABBA this year. That was last year.
No,
right?
That was ABBA. It was ABBA this year.
ABBA,
Last year was... was it ABBA or the Beatles this year?
Oh, it was the Beatles last year.
Last year.
And it was ABBA this year. Yeah.
And next year it's going to be Beach Boys.
Oh. So
there you go.
See? You never know.
You never know.
Never know what you're going to get. So how long have you been the CEO for the symphony, Andy?
It was 8 years in January. Mm-hmm. And it's been really wonderful to see all the changes in downtown Muskegon, mm-hmm. and the changes in the community, and also the growth in, you mentioned our all the different programs we do, the growth in our programs for young people.
Yes.
In particular.
Let's talk about those programs.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Black History Month celebration at the high school. Is that going to be at the high school this year?
At the high school, yeah.
Okay. Well, they always feature our young people from the Tune-Up program.
The Tune-Up program, yeah.
They've been doing that every year since we started it, and this is the fourth year of Tune-Up, and that is a program for young kids in Muskegon Public Schools from third grade on to learn string instruments.
It is.
And then they get up at the showcase and they get to show what they've learned so far.
Right.
So it's cool.
Yep. And my daughter is a part of the Tune-Up program. It has been
a couple years now, right?
Yeah. 2 or 3 years.
She's coming along
really well. She's coming along really well.
And she sings too.
She does. Yeah. She also sings with the West Michigan Symphony Children's Choir.
So multi-talented young person.
She definitely is. She gets
it
on us. I wasn't going to brag a little bit, but I will. So we are talking about the Tune-Up program, and that's been going on for quite some time. But then when the kids move on a little bit further and get a little bit older in age, there's another program.
Yeah, there's the
debut. That they can audition for.
There's Debut Strings, and that is an audition-based program. And we're hoping to start having some Tune-Up students audition for Debut Strings, mm-hmm. because now they've been a lot of the Tune-Up kids have been playing for a couple of years.
Yes.
So they should be ready.
Yes.
And Debut Strings actually does its own concerts, but it also does a concert every spring with the children's choir.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up on
March 27th, I believe. It's a Sunday.
This coming month. Yeah.
Yep.
And then they do as well play at, with the West Michigan Symphony during the Link Up concert.
Yes.
And the Link Up is our other big program. That's where all the young people get to play recorders.
Which is an awesome time.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I got to volunteer with it this past fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was amazing to all these kids. And this program, that particular program, doesn't just exist right here in Muskegon County. Right. They bus kids from...
Well, the furthest bus comes from actually from Ludington.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Pretty far.
Pretty far.
Mason County, Kent County.
Yep. Yeah. And over Oceana. Toward the Grand Rapids area, yep. down toward Holland.
Yep.
It's really Karen Vander Zanden, she does a great job organizing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of moving parts, and she is one of our education. And I say our because I serve on the board for the West Michigan Symphony.
Full disclosure here.
So I'm definitely a part of that organization and absolutely love it. And so what do you see, what is your envision as the CEO of where the symphony could be and should be like in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, it's pretty much my vision for all symphonies. You know, historically, the symphonies have been very much pigeonholed in playing great historic music by dead white European composers, you know, and that music is great. I'm not dissing it. Mm-hmm. Beethoven, Brahms, Tchaikovsky. Mm-hmm. We'll always play that music because that's what
the classic.
It's classic. And that's classic. What the orchestra, you know, we grew up together with that music.
Yeah.
That's what the orchestra is designed to play. But there's so much other great music out there, like the music we're playing tonight. And I want that to become as familiar to people.
Yes.
As a Beethoven Fifth Symphony. Mm-hmm. Because, oh my God, this music tonight. I am so psyched about it. It is just so powerful.
Yes.
You know, I just want everybody to hear it.
Okay. I do too. Can you talk a little bit about what it takes to run not just a program like tonight's program, but just for the symphony to keep going? Like, what is the fundraising aspect of that mm-hmm. about?
Well, our budget is $1.7 million a year. Mm-hmm. And even the main concert series, ticket sales only cover like a third of that. Mm-hmm. And then for our youth education.
And the tickets are very affordable.
Yeah, we keep that's part of the reason why, Jim. Yep. Because if we wanted to have the tickets cover all the expense of the concerts, no one could afford to come. Mm-hmm. So and we don't want that. So we do a lot of fundraising. Yes. I do a lot of fundraising, and you and the board all help me with that. And you know, it's sponsorships from corporations, mm-hmm. but you know, Muskegon has corporations, but not a huge amount.
Right.
So we also get grants, and then we ask individuals for donations. And I have to say, it is an extremely generous community.
It is
very supportive of the arts, mm-hmm. and it is. It's not hard to fundraise here. You just got to ask.
You do. Yeah. You know,
and I mean, and you and I both know, because folks, you probably know Jen does a lot of fundraising herself for various causes, and she's really good at it. And yes, sometimes it is hard.
Oh, yeah.
But and it just depends on, you know, the timing and everything like that. But by and large, this is a very giving community.
It is.
Supports a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. So,
and one of the bigger fundraisers that we do every year is the gala.
Yeah.
Which is a great time.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I love the gala.
And a lot of organizing from the staff, the board members. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I have this, you talked about our staff, you know, Karen Vanderzanden, who mm-hmm. runs all the education programs. But I have another Karen, Mueller O'Neill, and she runs all the marketing. And she was such a find for us because mm-hmm. She's got 30 years of experience marketing orchestras in different places around the country. Some orchestras are much bigger than ours. Mm-hmm. So she just knows so much and knows how to, she just manages everything so carefully and knows pretty much when we plan concerts, what we can expect to bring in on each concert, depending on what is on the program. Mm-hmm. So, and she's rarely wrong. So.
Yeah. And she does like, if you've noticed in the last couple of years, like the whole social media presence mm-hmm. and utilizing reels and, you know, yesterday they went live with the Lunch and Learn. Let's talk about Lunch and Learn.
Oh, yeah. Lunch and Learn. Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool yesterday.
Oh, my God. The conductor.
Yeah.
He was so knowledgeable.
I know.
I was sitting in my office multitasking, of course, listening to it. But he just, the way he talked about the music that's going to be played tonight, and not only did he talk about the music that's going to be played tonight, he talked about just the different genres and generations or in the different music.
Yeah.
Gullah Geechee, he's from, he was from what, South Carolina or something? Yeah. Like he grew up in South Carolina. So that was a big part of his roots, and mm-hmm. talked about how he got into music and conducting, and the featured pianist tonight, she, you know, did the same thing, and it was just a really good Lunch and Learn. Is that available on our Facebook page?
Yeah, or? You can go to our Facebook page and watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, what I really appreciated about that is that, you know, some of the music tonight has got jazz elements.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I always wondered, I don't know. You wonder, where did jazz come from and what are its roots? And he went way back the mid 19th century and talked about the roots of jazz and how it came from spirituals and from call and response singing. And
he had examples.
He had examples. I know
he had a whole, it was a whole presentation. Yeah. it was really good. So if you get a chance, or when you get a chance, go take a look at the West Michigan Symphony Facebook page and, just kind of check it out. If you're not sure about whether you want to go tonight, but you do want to go tonight. Do. And there are still tickets available. We'll tell you in a minute how to get those. But if you want to get kind of just catch a little sneak peek of what you will be able to encounter tonight, you can go to our Facebook page and kind of listen and look at that lunch and learn from yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah. And speaking of tickets, there are still tickets available.
There are. You can call the box office. And that is 231-726. Oh, God, I'm spacing it out.
Uh-oh.
Go to westmichigansymphony.org. I should be ready for these questions. Go to westmichigansymphony.org.
Yeah.
You can also go to the Frauenthal Center box office in person.
Yep.
They're open. They'll be open tonight as well. There are still tickets available. So even
doors open at 6:45.
Yeah.
Tonight?
So, yeah, you can just get your tickets right then if you want.
Yeah. Yep. There are. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go. So I just got a ticket yesterday, but actually found a really good third row seat. So. Oh.
Good. Yeah. It can happen.
It does happen. let's see here. So how we know the programming for today, but how does the symphony normally pick the programming that they're going to do year to year?
It's a long planning process. And it starts with asking the audience mm-hmm. for ideas, asking the musicians for ideas, mm-hmm. and asking the staff for ideas.
Okay. And then our wonderful conductor, our normal conductor, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, when he couldn't do this particular concert because he's premiering a ballet in Chicago.
Yeah.
He was the one who connected us with Kellen Gray, the guy who's conducting tonight. So none of us had ever met Kellen. Kellen didn't know any of us. And he had never worked with the pianist either. We're all we've been feeling our way this week and getting to know each other. The orchestra is really having a great time working with him.
Yes.
You know, every conductor's different mm-hmm. and the energy's different. And mm-hmm.
And he has a lot of energy.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. He does. He has a lot of energy. And so Kellen Gray is the guest conductor tonight. And let's talk about Michelle.
Michelle Kahn is the pianist and she
classically trained African-American woman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She's here actually with her husband and 18-month-old.
She got a baby.
Yeah. So, I've met her husband. I haven't met her little one yet.
Okay.
She probably won't bring her to the concert, I suppose. But, anyway, she's super nice and, energetic mm-hmm. and this piece that she's playing it's called the Gershwin Concerto in F. Gershwin wrote Rhapsody in Blue. Mm-hmm. That's what most people know, and then of course all the Broadway songs that he did, but this was a real serious lengthy piano and orchestra piece that he wrote, and the way she plays it, she said it's a concerto, and normally a concerto, that just means that there's a solo instrument and it's backed by the orchestra. And in this case, it's the piano, but it's really much more of a piece for piano and orchestra, she said. And so the piano is part of the orchestra in this piece, and she really plays it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her rehearse for a couple of nights in a row, and it's super exciting.
Well, there you have it, folks. Once again, tonight, this symphony is going to be a treat. Let's just say that. It's going to be a treat. There are still tickets available.
And guess what?
What?
I'm going to tell you that actual box office number.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm working on right now. So keep talking.
Okay. so again, there are still tickets available. You can... go to the website, westmichigansymphony.org.
Okay. Or, and here's the correct phone number that I couldn't remember before, 231-727-8001.
231-727-8001. All right. Yeah. So check it out, guys. I will be there in attendance. I can't wait. It's going to be a real treat.
Yeah.
It's going to be a real treat. And if this is, especially if this is your first time, you're going to want to come back. Regardless of what type of genre of music you like, if classical is not your thing, there's going to be something in there that you like. Because again, tonight there's be a variety, not just classical. There's some jazz in there too.
You will hear a lot of jazz. This is not only is this jazz oriented, but this is American music. Every piece on the program is American.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it's written by an African American or a white person, but it's all American, and you can hear what makes it American.
Yeah,
and that's really cool.
Yeah, and Kellen did. I just talked about the Lunch and Learn, but he did a great job kind of explaining that, and he went over that yesterday. Well, what makes it American music? You know, versus music coming from
Europe or Asia or India.
So, and he also talked about how this type of music created or was a good starting point for other types of music too. So again, if you didn't get a chance to catch that Lunch and Learn yesterday, you can check it out on the West Michigan Symphony Facebook page and kind of get some knowledge and some education about what's going to be happening tonight.
Yep.
All right. So I want to thank my guy, Andy, over here. Andy Beeler.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank
all of you for listening.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with our next guest. Thanks for tuning in to Community Focus. Y'all keep it locked right here, 103.7 The Beat.
Many travelers dream of experiencing the beauty of Tanzania, from its stunning national parks to vibrant cultural sites. Yet the costs often seem overwhelming. But with Visit Tanzania for Less, exploring this East African gem on a budget is not only possible, but incredibly rewarding. Whether you're a solo backpacker, a volunteer, or just a budget-conscious traveler, we provide valuable insights and resources to make your journey unforgettable without breaking the bank. Book your trip now with just a $300 deposit and flexible monthly payments until your travel date. For more travel inspiration and tips, follow us on Instagram or visit us at visittanzania4less.com. Visit Tanzania for Less, your dream adventure within reach.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Jen Ross, and I am not Melvin, and I am not Greg, but they are both out today, so they asked me to fill in, so thanks for the opportunity. You are tuned in right now to Community Focus right here on 103.7 The Beat, and in the studio with me right now, I have Ms. Marquette McDaniel and Kamaya Jackson. Ms. McDaniel is the Vice President of the Black Student Union at Muskegon Community College, so welcome them to the show. How you doing, ladies?
Good.
Hello. Good. So let's talk about what you guys have going on. And first, what's the mission of the Black Student Alliance at Muskegon Community College?
The mission of the Black Student Alliance is to empower Black students and academics on campus. We try to make the campus a safe place for Black students to feel like they can get their education while also getting the needs and wants that they have met. If they need more support, we offer more support. If they want to see more Black teachers, we try to advocate for more Black teachers. Even if they just want to see a hangout spot for Black people only, you know, we try to accommodate them in whatever way we can.
Okay. And how long have you been involved with the organization?
I've been involved since August of 2024.
Oh, okay. And how about you? Are you involved with it too, Kamaya?
Oh, yes. I started last semester when I had currently transferred from the school.
Okay. All right. And do you know how long this organization has been around?
This organization has been around since 2020, but then, you know, once COVID came, it had kind of stopped, and now we're just kind of really picking it back up and seeing how we can really keep it going.
Okay. All right. And then what are you seeing as some of the challenges that the students are bringing to you?
In full honesty, the students haven't really brought many challenges to us.
Wait, what?
You know, we do have a big group, but no one is really saying, oh, this is going on campus or this is happening. One of the issues I'm bringing to the group, though, safety. Okay. We just had a shooting in the school area yesterday. Yes, school was on lockdown. My cousin was at the school. My friend was at the school. You know, I'm at home, so I'm safe. But they not safe, and I don't like that. Because even though we got security officers and campus police, they don't really do too much on campus. No shade.
So in saying that, the focus, I guess, would be toward safety for the students right now. What are some of the initiatives that you guys hope to bring to the campus and for the students?
Honestly, we have this Black security guard at school. I don't know his name. I'm so sorry. Otherwise, I would shout you out. He's very sweet. He's been coming to our events. So really just getting the students acquainted with him so that they know, okay, there's a security officer that looks like me, who can relate to me, knows the challenges that I'm already feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you don't even got to say, hey, like, I fear for my life, because he knows what fears you have already being the same color as you. So really just trying to get a few more staff who look like us, maybe even have some more safety protocols, like what to do if there is a shooting in the area, safe places to go for a lockdown. I don't know. I guess a way to also stay in touch with people at home during those lockdowns, because sometimes they be trying to block the little Wi-Fi and the cellular devices around.
Okay. What kind of other events have you guys had or initiatives besides this that you really think have made an impact on the student population?
You want to talk or you want me to? Well, last semester, before this semester had started, we had a clothing drive.
Oh, okay.
Which was really nice. That ended when did it
begin? Our clothing drive had ran from November to January of 2026.
Yeah, and doing this month, because it's Black History Month, we've been doing stuff each week for Black History Month. And then okay, the first week we had the family and game night. Everybody came, danced, and stuff like that. And every Monday it was a different movie, so that was our movie night. And we had popcorn. Did also a popcorn sale. And then we also did.
What kind of movies are you guys watching?
Okay, the movies that we had watched. we had Hidden Figures as our first.
Oh, good. Movie. Yeah, that's a good one.
We had Red Tails. We had did Selma, and then we were going to do the Black Power mixtape for our last one, but we switched over to Sinners. And what my cousin is trying to tell y'all is that each week we had those events going on. First, it was arts and craft. Second week was social liberation. Third week was mental health and wellness. And then the fourth week was We don't have a name for the fourth week. We did the events. We just did do our little showcase.
And for those events, did you guys bring in any guest speakers or?
For Community Health and Wellness Week, we brought in Access Health. We had Public Health. We had Health West. And then we had a mental health organization on campus called Active Minds there as well. Because I'm trying to think for other ones. Oh, we had MVP there. That's me. I'm the youth administrator facilitator for it alongside Adira Tanoko. They had donated some fidget spinners and some little prizes for us to give away. We had Cajun cuisine cook for us and cater the food for our social and liberation week. And that was about it.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. That sounds like you guys are keeping the kids. The students. They're not kids. I'm just almost 50. Okay, so
that's okay.
That school age. You know that college age. That's you know y'all could be my kids. Okay. So, so no disrespect. They're not kids. They are young adults, and they are making a difference and an impact on their campus. What else do you have coming up? We're coming out of Black History Month, but of course, Black History 365. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We got Black History right here up in the making with me and Kamaya representing for BSA. Now, one of the ideas that we have proposed, March is the Rhea month, but it's also Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. So since we have a more woman-based BSA than male, I was thinking that we could do like a Meet the Woman of BSA. You know, everybody get their picture taken, get mm-hmm. a nice little profile written about them. That way, as students go on, they can see us being women, you know, recognizing history. But also mm-hmm. with it being the Rhea month, thinking about renting out a few study rooms in the library, and then once or twice a week having like a tutoring session with BSA. You know, we have over 16 members. They all take different areas of study. So it's like for those students who's coming in for, let's say, I do nursing and business, she does art, you know, they get the specific help from us. But if it's something more generalized like psychology or agriculture, then we would get the third floor tutoring center to come and help us tour those students.
Okay. And speaking of Women's History Month, Dr. Smith out at the college, along with the Muskegon Heights Optimist Club, has their program in March, and I can't, the date slips my, I believe it's the 21st.
The Women's Worth Watching.
Women Worth Watching.
I got y'all on that. Yeah. So, guys, I was actually awarded.
I got one last year.
You know, I was one of the recipients for community engagement of Women Worth Watching, and I would actually like to highlight the new recipient from my group, Tayana McCorder. She had got nominated for Women Worth Watching for community engagement.
She and I didn't know so we were going to be talking about this today, but I would have got a list of all of the people that are going to be recognized this year. My sister is one of them, Hillary Ross.
Oh,
you do? Mm-hmm. Me too, girl. That's my baby.
Yeah,
that's my little sister. Cool. She's 2 years younger than me. And then Maricela from Navarro. She's also being honored.
What?
This year. And I don't have everybody. I'm sorry, guys.
One person that we do know of is Ari Jacobs from Mediation Restorative Services.
Okay.
Y'all need to tap in with her. Y'all need a record expunged. Y'all need help settling something with y'all family court school. Get with them. They can help you.
Oh, good. Yes. See, look at that. Resources on resources on resources. Okay. My sister worked for Access Health. Yeah, we all the resources. And so we done kind of got off topic, but this program or the Women Worth Watching, again, I was a recipient last year for, I think, was it community engagement? I can't remember which one it was. But as the city clerk for the city of Muskegon Heights, somebody threw my name in the hat for that. So, again, shout out to Dr. Pam Smith and the Muskegon Heights Optimist Club for recognizing women during Women's History Month. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and congratulations to you.
Thank you.
All right. So, back to the Black Student Alliance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about what you guys have planned for campus. And then how would you like to see this organization grow? I know, you know, Muskegon Community College is a two-year, it's a two-year college, but then they have some extensions too. So you could possibly be there longer if you do one of the extension campuses. But in the time that you're there, what would you like to see happen with the Black Student Alliance? Let's go. Would you, Miss Quiet over there?
Okay. I would like to see more of the students engaged and like actually coming to like meetings and saying like any issues or problems they have with the school.
And how are you getting the word out?
Well, we make flyers and we post them around on the boards that we have on our campus. That's where like mostly everything is at. Like if you're walking around campus, you will see all the bulletin boards or different flyers and stuff like that. Or we set them on like the tables and stuff like that and post on our social media account as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we try to get the word around. And then we also have our great person who loves posting everything here. You know, she makes sure she's connected to everybody and everything on campus, which is really nice and helpful.
Okay. And so those that want to follow you on social media, how can they get a hold of you?
I got y'all. I'm going to pull up our Instagram right now.
Yeah, she's all like right. Ahead of the social media stuff.
Okay. So you... Vice President do it all, huh? She,
you know, active. I try to make myself resourceful. You know, I try to just help wherever I can. You know, I try to let other people help as well because I don't just want to, you know, take over and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes I do end up just taking over.
Sometimes it'd be like that. especially as an organizer, you know, when the team ain't teaming.
Oh yeah.
You know, we no offense to nobody.
But you know, our team, they do be teaming, but sometimes, you know, it do be a little bit more heavy on one or two members be in there than the full group. But you know, that's okay, because this is really the first year that we really just got things back up and running. So, you know, we just working with what we can work with. But if you guys would like to follow us on Instagram, it is MuskegonCC.BSA.
MuskegonCC.BSA.
Yes.
And that's Instagram. Are you guys on any other platforms?
No.
Well, no, not yet.
No Snapchat.
Not currently. Not currently.
I'm still trying to get with the Snapchat thing. I'm old, though. I'm like, it's just Facebook for me. I don't know. And so with the BSA, are you guys, do you feel like you're getting the support of the faculty and the staff?
I feel like there could be a little bit more support, you okay. know.
Well, you know what? And that's why I asked, because yeah. maybe they don't know that you're looking for that support.
So. And, you know, the students, they do try to come and support when they can. We do get a lot of non-African-American students support mm-hmm. there. You know, we have a few consistent members who have constantly been showing up. And, you know, like the security guard, he's always there. The staff in the Jayhawk Hub, they're always supporting us. But, you know, as far as like anyone else, sometimes the support just be a little diminished or not there at all. And they may just not know how to support us yet. Mm-hmm. But then when
because you are just kind of re-emerging back like, onto campus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So y'all hear that if you're listening, watching.
Okay, y'all better be listening and watching. I told y'all.
They want and need your support. What can the people outside of campus or in the community do to help you and help you achieve your vision?
Come to our events. Just show up.
People from outside?
Oh, yes. Every time I post about our event, I make it clear. Our events are not limited to the students at MCC. They are open to the public.
Okay.
Like, as long as there are no community members who's finna come in with a weapon or with drugs on them, you know, anyone is more than welcome to come. We're never going to be like, oh, you not a student here. Let me see your student number. You gotta leave. No, it's always a safe and welcome place to come.
Okay.
Which we have had a few community members show up, but it's just so limited. So, you know, if you guys could just show up, that's probably the biggest thing y'all could do. Post about us, you know, encourage your younger nieces, siblings, friends, family members, get involved. If they're coming to MCC, really encourage them to join this student group or a student group in general.
And speaking of that, are you guys collaborating with any other groups on campus? Or in the community?
We collaborate with the Active Minds group. That's the mental health group on campus. We've actually been trying to collaborate with Jaleesia Rowe. If you're watching this, girl, I don't even mean to put you on the spot like that. But we were trying to collaborate with her. That's about it for my knowledge.
Okay. All right. So we are going to take a quick break and come back with Miss Marquette McDaniels and Miss Kamaya Jackson. Y'all keep it tuned right here to 103.7 The Beat. Oh, sorry. And we are back on Community Focus right here on 103.7 The Beat. I have Miss Marquette McDaniel, Vice President of the Black Student Alliance, and Miss Kamaya Jackson, also a member of the Black Student Alliance from Muskegon Community College here with me. And we talked a little bit about what the organization, well, a lot of it about what the organization does and is hoping to achieve. But you have a new initiative coming up, right? The violence awareness?
Oh, okay. So that's a separate organization. That's my job.
Okay.
So we're talking about Muskegon Violence Prevention, which is a youth-led gun violence prevention program made up of 16 youth all from the Muskegon County area. They are focused in MCC, Muskegon Heights, Muskegon, West Michigan Christian, homeschool students, Mona Shores, Reese Puffer, Orchard View, pretty much.
That anywhere. Covers the whole county.
Yeah, you know, yeah. We try to get at least 1 to 2 students from each school so that we can make sure each school has someone representing them.
Okay. And so you said that there are 60. Is there room for more?
There is room for more. We plan to do recruitment this summer, starting late June, going to July, and then onboarding process in August. And then we're going to take our kids to Camp Minnewaka in Shelby, Michigan this October to do team training and team bonding with the group.
Okay. And the ultimate goal, we know that recently, you know, there's just been a lot of gun violence here all over Muskegon County. It's not just concentrated to one area. It's traveling around. So what are you hoping that this group can do? What is the goal for this group?
The goal is to try to decrease gun violence in the community. And we actually have a new initiative. Here, I have our public health campaign called Our Stories, Our Strength. This is an anonymous story box where community members can submit their story about how they were impacted by gun violence. And we're going to take that information and we're going to connect them with resources, such as if they come saying, oh, I lost my cousin to gun violence and now I need counseling and I need mental health support. We're going to connect them with a counselor. We're going to connect them with on-site mental health support. If they got into gun violence because they didn't have any food at home, we have several food pantries around Muskegon and Muskegon Heights community areas that we can connect them with. Feeding America being one, they have a number where you can call them and instantly get a meal shipped to you. You know, we're really just trying to not be a community group who says, oh, we're here for the community, and then we don't have nothing to show forth. So we're hoping that with the stories that we get from this community, that we could take that information and really actually put it to good use, making sure that we're getting that information to the right people, policymakers, grant makers, the real movers and shakers of the city, so that something positive can come up out of it.
That sounds good. And again, just providing those resources. I mean, the younger generation, in my opinion, has dealt with so much trauma from all of this. And it's just something my generation, I'm not going to say we didn't go through it, but not to this extent. So how can people get this information? I'm going to take a picture of this. I'll post it on my social media. We'll make sure we also get it on the radio station's social media as well. But other than that, how can they get in touch with you and get some of these resources? And it's got a cute little QR code. They are with the times over here.
So one of our members, V Lee, she actually does the graphic designs and the artwork for us. And shout out to her for our poster. So if you go to the Chicken Coop, Muskegon Community College, Muskegon Heights High School, any community park, really just anywhere out in the neighborhood, later on today or this weekend, you will see one of these posters posted up. You can scan the QR code and then that will take you to the link to fill out your story. Everything is confidential and anonymous.
Right, I was just going to ask.
When you submit your story, I won't know who came and told us that their cousin died yesterday. I won't know that you shot the gun because you didn't have no food at home. Nothing. No information will be leaked out. No information will be pushed out. There is a disclaimer when you go on here to reiterate that the information is confidential and anonymous. And then if you want to follow us on social media, our Instagram is Muskegon Violence Prevention. And then if you would like to follow our sister group who is doing the same work as us in Washington, D.C., their Instagram is The Trigger Project D.C. and it's located at the bottom of each and every flyer.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Anything else you guys want to share before we close out?
Stay Black. Stay beautiful. Be you.
Yes.
Honestly, guys, let's come together as a community. You know, when I was growing up, we had that sense of community where if my mama was going to work and the neighbors needed to watch me, she knew that I would be in safe hands. Mm-hmm. And now you don't even know if your neighbor want to kill you. You know, so it's like we really have to stop saying, oh, we want to come together and then we do nothing to come together, you know. So really make sure that you take the time to check out Our Stories, Our Strength and submit your story. That way we can really be a unified community and help decrease the gun violence.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you, ladies. I want to thank all my guests today, Ms. Marquette McDaniel, Vice President of the Black Student Union, Ms. Kamaya Jackson, who is a member of the Black Student Union at MCC, and then also Andy Belew earlier from the West Michigan Symphony. So don't forget that there's still time to get your West Michigan Symphony tickets. I just got mine yesterday, got a wonderful seat. And the guest conductor, Kellen Gray, and then the guest pianist, she's a classically trained pianist, Michelle Can, are going to be there tonight. Don't forget, you still got time, about a couple hours, to get down to Mount Zion Church of God in Christ for our annual Lenten fish fry. Your choice of catfish or perch. $15 gets you a dinner, choice of size, spaghetti, coleslaw, or fries.
Might need that.
I know, right? It's good, too. Also, in the top of the hour, we talked about the Muskegon 21st Century Program is going to do their Black History Program next Thursday at 5:30 at the high school auditorium. And they are honoring, they are honoring five alumni from Muskegon Public Schools. Yeah, I had that right. And let me see, I got to get back to the names of those people. Let's see, Ms. Chandra Sane, class of 1990. She is now currently a counselor. So look at all these people that graduated and came back to serve their community and their school system. I love it. Chandra Sane, class of 1990. She is the counselor at the high school. Mr. Willie German also came right back to Muskegon and serves his community as the Muskegon City Muskegon City Commission. Oh, he does work at MCC. Okay. Shout out to Mr. German. Always giving back. Eddie Brown, class of 1987. He currently works at Charles Hackley Middle School as the dean. Miss Lenora Kitty Turner Terry, class of 1976. She is the health teacher at the middle school. And then Pastor Arthur Durham, class of 1979, excuse me, who is currently a pastor, but if you went to Muskegon Public Schools in the 90s, he was a coach back then and also an administrator. So I did not go to Muskegon Public Schools. I went to High School Tigers. but shout out to Muskegon Public Schools and shout out to Miss
Go Big Red.
And shout out to Miss Angie Johnson, who is the coordinator over the 21st Century Program. And her other coordinators just do a wonderful job every year. Putting this Black History Program together. She called me yesterday and said my daughter is going to be one of the MCs. So, definitely excited to
get them empowering Black voices in the community.
Absolutely. Y'all. Absolutely. So, again, thank you to my guests today. And thank you to you all for turning in. Oh, we got some questions. We got a question. Where is Melvin and Robert still recovering? Yes, Mr. Malone, they are. So, you get me today. Right. I'm just filling in. So Melvin is traveling. So safe travels to him. And Greg T. Roberts is still recovering from surgery. So I know I miss him too, but I'm happy to fill in whenever they're not here. So again, thank you guys for tuning in to Community Focus. I'm Jen Ross. And coming up in the 3 o'clock hour is the Afternoon Jams. Guess who is hosted by me? Jen Ross. So I'll be back with you guys from 3 to 7 today. Stay tuned for the Afternoon Jams right here on 103.7 The Beat.